This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of
the... The root anthrop means people, while phagy means eat. So anthropophagy is a fancy word for human cannibalism. Lots of animals do cannibalism, and we humans have been doing it for nearly a million years. And yet, and this might be a good thing, compared to other animals of the same size, we are not that nutritious. It turns out that until the early 20th century, eating various bits of the human body was widely accepted as an approved medical therapy. These bits included flesh, bone, blood, and even various types of moss that would invade human skulls in the ground. Flesh from a mummified body was thought to be an excellent remedy for bruising. And indeed, powdered mummy, known as mummia, was still included in the therapeutic Merck Index, which is a medical index of chemicals, drugs, and biologicals, until the early 1900s. We have pretty good evidence of our distant predecessors practicing cannibalism 800,000 years ago in caves in Spain. And in popular culture, you might remember the fairy tale children Hansel and Gretel, and the evil witch fattening up Hansel so that she can eat him. Cannibalism has been well documented over the last few centuries as happening in most parts of the world, and not just in the so-called primitive or tribal societies. In the USA, the Donner Party was a westward expedition in 1846 and 47. By bad luck, they found themselves stranded by snow in a high mountain pass in California. And the survivors survived by eating human flesh. There were many cases of cannibalism in the Second World War, most notably in prisoner of war camps and the siege of Leningrad. In 1972, Uruguayan Air Force Flight 571 crashed in the Andes. The survivors were rescued after 72 days, but they had desperately resorted to eating those who had already died. And even today, some of us practice placentophagy, the eating of the placenta or afterbirth once a child has been born. One classification of cannibalism breaks it down into endocannibalism, where a person from within the community is eaten, or exocannibalism, the consumption of a person from outside the community. Endocannibalism is usually associated with rituals, such as the grieving process after the death of a tribe member, or a method to make sure the souls of the dead make it into the bodies of the next generation, or respect and honour, or perhaps even social control. Exocannibalism is usually associated with hostility, violence, contempt, and often is a celebration of victory over the enemy. In both endocannibalism and exocannibalism, there is some degree of belief that the eating of another's flesh will give the cannibal some of the victim's desirable characteristics. Another way to describe cannibalism is to consider its function or motivation. So, nutritional cannibalism looks at eating flesh in terms of its nutritional value or taste. However, ritual or magical cannibalism relates to religious beliefs. Survival cannibalism happens as a last resort to keep some of the group alive when there is not enough food to keep the whole group going. And of course, there is psychotic or criminal cannibalism. Now, it turns out that human flesh is not particularly nutritious. So let's compare human muscle to the muscle of other animals. Let's start with a mammoth, which we wiped out about 5,000 years ago, but which was around for most of the 200,000-year history of Homo sapiens. Its skeletal muscle could offer about 15 million kilojoules. Compare the mammoth to the horse, which delivers about 840,000 kilojoules, while a human has a potential of only 134,000 kilojoules. So, a mammoth would keep a modern human alive for over 1,700 days, a horse would keep you going for 96 days, but eating another human would give you only 15 days. So, maybe nutrition wasn't the only reason that we humans have such a long history of cannibalism. Perhaps it's a good thing that over time, in Western society, cannibalism has become taboo. Almost, you could say, in poor taste.
What does it mean? Why is it so?